The Lord be with you. Every now and then, I find it helpful to remind folks that I don't pick the scriptures we read each Sunday, yeah? There is something called the Revised Common Lectionary, which was most recently updated in the 80s. About 40 denominations across the English-speaking world have agreed that for all our differences, why don't we at least read the same scriptures each Sunday? It's a lovely idea. So this Sunday, they had us read Revelation 22, the very end of the Bible. And I don't know if you noticed, but in our bulletin, it says that we skipped three verses. There were three verses left out, and just out of curiosity, I looked up what they were, and I want to share with you verse 19 right now. It says, if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, not a good start, God will take away that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. Well, that's ironic. Verse 18, right before that, warns that if anyone adds to the, I didn't put it up there, but verse 18 basically says, if you add words to this book, God's going to add to the plagues that are described in the book. So, okay, why are we skipping these passages? And to give the Revised Common Lectionary the benefit of the doubt, I think it's because, maybe this is kind of like an administrative commentary, right? Don't add any more words to this book. But maybe it's not the whole point of that very end of the Bible. Maybe that's what they're going with. But they also skipped verse 15, which I think is relevant. So let's read verse 15. It says, outside are the dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Ooh, why leave that out? Well, other than, we're just sort of polite people who don't like to talk about unpleasant things, I think maybe it's left out because today we also heard from John chapter 17, which is taking place during Jesus' Last Supper, right? His last night here on earth. And what Jesus does is he prays. He prays for his disciples, but not just the disciples in the room. He prays for everyone who will come to believe in him because of the words of those disciples. Which means that Jesus is praying for you at his Last Supper. Jesus prays for each and every one of you and for the generations that are yet to come. And Jesus' prayer for us is that we may be one as he and God are one. And if Jesus' prayer is that all people are united as one, to end the Bible with this image of the city of God where heaven has come down to earth and God lives with humanity. But outside the city, there are these people, and dogs, apparently, who don't get let in. Well, it almost then seems like we maybe aren't one at the end of the Bible, that maybe Jesus' prayer isn't fulfilled. And so I can see why the people who chose what we read this Sunday may be saying, well, if we just ignore that, it'll seem like it all works out great. But friends, not only is it dishonest to claim that there is unity when there is not, when we pretend that there is unity when there is not, we actually prevent unity from being possible, which is what verse 19, that one about don't take away words from this book, is warning us about. And so because of that, I want to take a closer look at verse 15 that we excluded from our reading today and say, why are these people left out? And I think the short answer is because they are harming the community. And we need to be honest about the ways in which people harm our community. So first of all, verse 15 says that outside the city of God are dogs. Now, I love dogs. There are some people who believe you should only read the Bible literally. Yeah. I don't believe that. I believe you should read the Bible seriously. And the difference between taking the Bible literally and taking it seriously is whether or not you believe that if God is going to make a list of all the people outside of heaven, the number one group that God wants to exclude is dogs, yeah? That would be to read the Bible literally. I say, you know, I don't think that's the point of this verse, especially since everyone else in that list is obviously a human who's a sinner, yeah? So maybe the word dogs is a metaphor to describe the other people in that list. And I say that because, with a little historical context, the word dog means a lot. So the first thing you should know is that in the ancient world, there were a group of people who actually called themselves dogs. You see, in ancient Greek, the word for dogs is kines. And from the word kines, we get the modern word cynic. Yeah, you can see if you change the K to a C, that's how it works. There were a group of people who called themselves cynics or dogs because they were followers of a 4th century BC philosopher named Diogenes. Diogenes was a fellow student with Plato in Athens. And Diogenes' main philosophy was to not worry about what other people thought, but to only desire those things which you could immediately satisfy yourself. So he lived in a barrel, yeah. He spent most of his time making fun of Plato. He famously, when Alexander the Great conquered the city he was living in, Alexander the Great had heard of this famous philosopher Diogenes and went to go find him, and he saw Diogenes was stretched out on the grass. And so Alexander the Great stood over him and said, "I am Alexander the Great, and I can give you anything you desire." And Diogenes looked up from the grass and said, "I am Diogenes the Dog, and I desire that you get out of my sunlight." After that encounter, Alexander said, "You know, if I couldn't be Alexander, the person I would most want to be in this world is Diogenes. Because he just, you know, didn't care what anyone else thought." And you can, on one hand, see how that might be appealing, but you can also see how it might lead to the modern definition of a cynic, which is someone who knows the price of everything, but the worth of nothing. And I think everyone else in this list, in verse 15, is a dog in that sense of a word. They are a cynic who knows the price of everything, but the worth of nothing. The next person on that list, in our translation, is sorcerers. But if you look at the ancient Greek, the word is pharmakoi. It's obviously where we get our word for pharmacy, yeah? And it literally means, you know, someone who's mixing potions. And so they're a poisoner, and in that sense, they're a sorcerer, right? Because they've got a cauldron that they're mixing stuff together in. They're someone who makes drugs in both the positive and negative sense of that term, right? The potions they make can heal, but they can also very much harm. And they are someone who does this for a profession. To say, the pharmakoi are people who are willing to poison their neighbors for a profit. Today we might call them drug dealers or pill pushers. Oh, they know the price of everything, but they don't know the worth of what matters most, human life. Similarly, the next thing it talks about is those who are sexually immoral. And in the Greek, the word for that is pornoi, from which we obviously get our modern word pornography. Yeah? And pornoi can just generally mean people who are sexually immoral, like fornicators. But it comes from the root of to export a good, a commodity. And that's because prostitutes in the ancient world were often captured women who were then exported to another country. Right, so pornoi in this sense, it's someone who is willing to commodify sex and to degrade another person to do it. Today we might call those people sex traffickers. Yeah, oh, they know what price they can get, but they don't understand what humans are worth. And similarly, next on the list is murderers, who obviously don't understand the worth of human life. And then after that comes idolaters. And idolaters are tricky because an idolater is someone who worships something other than God. And most obviously, people tend to worship money or power. And they're willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to get those things. But we can turn anything into an idol, our own family, or even the church, right? We have seen throughout the years the ways in which church leaders will sacrifice other human beings to protect an institution, because they have gotten wrong what is actually most valuable. And then finally it says, the people outside the city are also the lovers and doers of falsehood, of lies. And friends, the biggest lie that we tell ourselves is that we are nowhere on this list. Because the truth is, each of us are. I know this for myself. I have been on this list in many ways throughout my life, and I'm going to share one with you today. It comes from when I was a child. You see, when I was 5, my father remarried, and I was blessed to receive a wonderful stepmother, Barbara, and I also received 2 step-siblings, an older stepbrother, Ian, and an older stepsister named Katie. Katie, 9 years older than me. Yeah, so imagine me as a 7-year-old boy with a 16-year-old sister, yeah? I was enamored with her. Yeah, she was the coolest person in the world, and like any schoolboy who has a crush, I had no idea how to express the feelings I had for my older stepsister. And so one day, I was playing out in the backyard, and I found a dead mouse. Yeah, see where this is going, right? And I took that dead mouse, and while my stepsister was out of her room, I went into her room and I placed it right on her pillow. In that moment, I knew I wanted some interaction with my stepsister, and I knew this thing could get me an interaction with my stepsister, but I fundamentally did not understand what a relationship with my stepsister was worth. Yeah, I was a dog in that moment, and I was stinking up our home. And it would make total sense for my stepsister to want me to be outside the house. And in fact, I ran outside the house when I had done this. The same is true with all the other people on that list, all the other cynics, all the other dogs. But here is the crazy thing. If you look in the chapter previous to this, when it first describes the city of God coming down out of heaven, in verse 25 of chapter 21, I have it right here, it says, "The gates of this city will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there." Which is to say, the gates of the city will never be shut. The people outside the city, they could walk in every time, anytime they wanted, but they don't. Why is that? It also says, right before this, and right before it describes that list, in verse 14, you can look at it in your bulletin, it says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes so as to have the right to the tree of life and to enter the city by its gates." Right, the people could walk in anytime they wanted to, but it would require them washing themselves. It would require them recognizing that they were dirty, that they had stunk up our common home, and that they needed to do something about it to make themselves clean so that we could actually be all together as one. But they don't want to. And I think there's a few reasons they don't want to. One is that throughout their whole life, they have made a choice to value something other than God and other human beings. And the city of God, you know, it's described as the streets are paved with gold. But you know what that means? Gold is as valuable as asphalt, right? That's the only significance it has in the city of God. It's something you just walk on. And that's what they spent their whole life searching for. And instead, the city of God, its centerpiece, there's no temple because God is at the center of the city of God throughout all of it. And you decorate your temples with what you value most, and the temple of and God in that place is surrounded by all the people of the world because that's what God values most. For the dogs, for the cynics to go into the city of God is to admit they had completely valued the wrong thing their whole life. And that's a hard thing to do, friend. It's hard to admit that we were wrong and that we hurt people by doing wrong. I could have, at any moment, after I'd put that mouse on my stepsister's bed, could have gone and said, "Hey, Katie, I'm sorry I did this thing," but I didn't. Instead, I hid outside because I knew what I had done was wrong and I didn't want to go back in. Which brings me to the second reason why dog is a really important descriptor of these people. Proverbs 26, verse 11 says, "As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool returns to his folly." You see, dogs have this thing where if they eat something that makes them sick, right, they puke it up. And then when they see the thing that had made them sick, they go back and they eat it again. And it makes them sick again, and the cycle just repeats it. The joys of dog ownership, yeah? But to say, for some of us, it is so hard for us to admit that we have done wrong, that we would rather keep doing the thing that makes us sick. And that's why the dogs are outside the city of God. But you know what? Those gates are always open. And there is water for the people to wash. And we hear today Jesus say, "Let anyone who thirsts come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life." Jesus wants people to come and wash in that water. Jesus, at the end of the Bible, wants to fulfill the prayer that he prayed at his Last Supper. He is calling those people to come and wash. And not only Jesus. Right before it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Right? The Spirit being the Holy Spirit. But the bride in the book of Revelation is the church. The bride is the church of Christ, who is our groom. It is saying that the church at the end of time is calling to the people outside the city of God, come, join us. And then it says, and let everyone who hears say, come. Jesus has this message of invitation, this welcome to say, come, take these waters, be made clean, join us, be one family. And it's not just Jesus saying this, it's everyone who hears it, receiving that information, that invitation for themselves, and sharing it to the person next to them so that all of creation resounds with this invitation, come. When I was hiding outside the house as a little boy, my stepsister Katie came and she found me. And she said to me, come. She said it kind of like that. Come. And I was terrified because I didn't know what was coming. But I followed her. And what she did is she took me to the bed. And she said, I'm going to teach you how to wash a bed. And she had me strip the sheets. And she took me over to the washing machine. She showed me how to put them in the washing machine and add soap and turn on the timer. My stepsister taught me how to wash, that I might have the right to the tree of life and enter into the city by its gates, that I might be made once more a part of that family and we could truly be one. That, my friends, is what we are called to do, to be those siblings in Christ, to reach out to people who, for whatever reason, do not feel like they have a place in the city of God because they know what they have done or they feel ashamed or dirty, and to say, there is a way that you have been made clean. It is completely free. For on the cross, Jesus has poured out both his blood and water that you might receive the water of life and have a right to the city of God. The very last word of the Bible is amen. Amen is Hebrew, and it means, let it be so. Jesus prays, may they be one as we are one. Jesus says, come, and invites us who hear to say, come, that all might be part of the city of God. Amen.